Talk about using the phenomenological spin-tailor waveform as a template for doing parameter estimation. So my goal is to do astrophysics with detection of gravitational wave, and in order to do that, we need to have some parameter estimations of some estimation of every parameter. Really, what I'm shooting for here with our what we are shooting for with our algorithm is to get the probability density function of the set of n parameters given specific models. And it's obtaining something like the plot up there for each parameter. It might or might not peak at the maximum likelihood point, but that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the whole information, the whole statistical information for each parameters. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that there is already detection, and I go in there and I know the information I really need from the detection is some information about when when there is a signal in the data. And it's some fairly precise estimation on the time of coalescence. And all the other parameters will be estimated afterwards. It's always nice to get some idea on the masses and things like that to start off the algorithm, but that's not necessary. What's really, really important is to get the time while the detection is. So since I'm going to go on doing parameter estimation, I'm not making much approximation on what the signal is. I'm focusing on compact binary in spirals, so spinning. Since this is for LIGO, I'll assume that they are circular and there is no eccentricity, and that leads me up to a 15-dimensional parameter space. And what I need to explore this parameter space is fairly fast but accurate template, as accurate as possible, but I'm going to compute in the order of 10 to the 5 up to 10 to the 6 templates. So speed is quite important. So I'm doing Bayesian inference, which really everything is into that formula here, Bayes' rule. What I want to know is my posterior probability for a given set of parameter lambda, given the data I just got x, and assuming a model, which is equal to my prior knowledge given the model on the parameters, which can be astrophysically motivated, or just I can decide to limit myself. I'll assume this is non-spinning, or I'll assume a given mesh ratio. I can assume that I'm looking for neutron stars. And this is multiplied by the likelihood of the data having this realization, assuming the source has those lambda parameters. Everything is divided by a proportionality constant, which doesn't really matter because you can factor it out afterwards. It doesn't depend on lambda. You can use exactly the same theorem, switching the model M, removing the model M and putting M instead of lambda to do exactly the same thing on the model you're using. So even though all the probability density function I show depend on what I assume for a model, I have some handle into checking what model is more likely towards another model. So in particular, there's a lot of different methods that do Bayesian inference. In particular, I'm doing a Markov chain Monte Carlo, which is really a walk-through parameter space where when I'm sitting at iteration I am proposing another step in parameter space and accepting this new step with respect to this formula here, computing this ratio, and I compare it to a random variable drawn uniformly between 0 and 1. What this means is just that I start somewhere in my parameter space, I walk around, and every time I propose a step that is better, meaning that has a higher likelihood times prior, then I'll accept it. And if the new step is a little worse, sometimes I will accept it nonetheless, and sometimes not. What is very important is that my proposal, the new step I propose, depends only on the point in parameter space I am at. It should not depend on the history of the chain you've had before. This character and a couple of other details guarantees that my chain, the histogram of the chain walking through parameter space is converging asymptotically towards the posterior probability density function. So a quick movie to show you how it is. In the two bottom panels, you have for each different colors is an independent chain walking around parameter space. The top panel here shows the corresponding value in a given parameter, here the chirp mass, and the bottom one is the corresponding likelihood. At some point, you start computing the, you start getting the histogram of all the chains, and you get a nice looking PDF. The red dashed line you saw in the beginning of the movie was the median, and it of course gets exactly where the black dashed line is, which is the injection value. But that's because it's a movie I created, so I took the best possible example I can take. So the models are amusing. First, spin Tyler model, which is just a restricted post-Newtonian waveform with orbital effects up to 3.5 pm and spin effects to 2 pm. So fully spinning, 15 parameters. Things to note, of course, it abruptly ends when the post-Newtonian expansion breaks down. I'm also going to use the fan spin model, which is the spin tower and spiral to which was added a phenomenological merger and ring down. I will not go into detail at all about this waveform because in less than an hour, Ricardo is going to talk about it. So, some results. I injected a 35-35 solar mass waveform and trying to recover it. I varied the spin of the injections and tried to recover it with both models. So in all the plots I'm going to show, the red dashed line is the median of the values. The black dashed line is the injection value for each of the 15 parameters. And the dashed dotted line is the point at which I get the highest likelihood. All those runs were done in a few hours, a little less than 10 hours. And to make things simpler, I used only one interferometer. The drawback is there is a lot of parameters on which I have few handles if I use only one interferometer. For instance, the sky localization here, the rise ascension and declination are fairly poor, but that's by design. I wanted to focus on intrinsic parameters like the spin and the masses, for which, as long as I have the same SNR, one detector or three detectors, it matters a little bit, but not so much, and makes my code three times faster. So focusing only on chirp mass, eta, and the magnitude of both spins. For reference, I inject the spin Tyler template, and I try to recover it with a spin Tyler template. I do get the chirp mass fairly well. Since this is an equal mass injection and I have a hard prior on eta, between, of course, 0 and 0.25. Since my injection lies right at the limit of the prior, what happens is that the chain tends to bounce back against the prior, and you can think of that effect as if you had some kind of a Gaussian peaked at 0.25, but everything that's above 0.25 gets folded down to the physical part of the parameter space. And so this is an effect, this tends to get the wider PDF than you really should have. Things to note, for instance, you can see here the dashed line on zero. I did a non-spinning injection, and yet the most likely point of the million point I computed was with an extremely spinning waveform. This is just to illustrate my point earlier. What we want is really the probability density function. Just the best match doesn't give you enough information. Now, if I inject the phenomenological spin waveform, I get significantly worse results, especially on the trapped mass. The trapped mass is, in as a general rule, a parameter that is fairly easy to get. What happens here, or what most likely happens, is for those masses, the ring down is fairly loud, and my in-spiral template is trying to match itself to the ring-down part of the injection waveform. That explains the difference in trapped mass, which relates to the frequency evolution of the in-spiral. And that's also why you get a bias towards high spins. But in short, the point is, for a lot of cases where the merger and ring down is fairly loud, you cannot match only with the in-spiral. And trying to recover exactly the same signal but with the correct template, of course, the estimates are much, much better. You do for both spins, well, you had absolutely no handle on the spin before. Now you get both spins railing against the zero spin limit of the prior. Now, trying to do the same thing but with a spinning injection, this is a 0.8.8 spinning binary. Even though the masses are fairly well recovered, there's not much handle on the spin using only the in-spiral part of the waveform. For comparison purposes, IV plot I'm showing is exactly the same SNR. So this is I inject only the in-spiral part, but at the same SNR as I'm going to inject the in-spiral plus ring down. And yet I don't have almost any handle on the spins using just this. And injecting the merger plus ring down on top of the in-spiral, I get exactly the same bias as before. I get a lower M-trap trying to fit the ring down and the bias towards high spin. It turns out in this case, since it is a high spin, it's a good thing, but shouldn't put too much faith on it. And using the right template, you get for both spin, I almost want to say you recover both spins, but this is still a 15-dimensional parameter space, and there is a lot of there's a lot of room for the template to move around and to match around. And you do get, though, even for the second spin, you get some bias towards the real spin in the PDF you recover. Again, the best match is almost unrelated with the injection just made into the signal. One of the features that is semi-interesting here, this bimodality that appears in trapped mass is most likely because my template is matching, on the one hand, the in-spiral, and on the other hand, the ring down. Even though the template I'm using has both merger and ring down, it gets a fairly good likelihood by trying to match its in-spiral part to the merger part that was injected. So, in conclusion, as expected, the parameter estimation is much improved by using the full signal, even when you compare at equal SNR cases. We do see additional degeneracies from the double part of the signal, but I want to emphasize on this, this is very much a work in progress, both in terms of the parameter space exploration and in terms of the waveform. And one of the things that is obvious, and that's what I did this work for, is to try on the Ninja 2 dataset, where I'll be able to try against the real thing.